Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Yukonuba Sporting Dog. If you want to get everything your dog's got, you need nutrition that holds nothing back. To help unleash your dog's maximum potential, check out the new Yukonuba Premium Performance Lineup at yukonubasportingdog.com. Welcome back, guys, to Operation Gundog. We're on episode 25, and joining us for this episode is Keith Hall. Keith Hall has some awesome accolades behind him as a trainer, and just he's kind of surrounded by dogs from all sorts of different hunting backgrounds. So without a further ado, Keith, how about you introduce yourself and kind of run us through some of the cool things you've been doing in the dog world?
Hey, thank you for thanks for having me on. I guess my background in dogs, I got started with dogs when I was still in junior high. I got my first hog dog when I was, I guess, in the seventh grade, and he wasn't the best, and, you know, he taught me some things and taught me what I wanted in a dog. So when I got into high school, I started looking a little more, and I got a dog named Tarzan, and me and that dog have been around the world many, many times chasing hogs and trying to stay out of trouble. I've duck hunted for years and had a good dog, and my buddy had some puppies that he was looking to get rid of, and so I got Woody. He's my Chesapeake, and needless to say, I have got another dog that has taken me across the country and has changed my life forever.
Man, that's awesome. We're going to have to circle back to that hog dog stuff because I want to learn some more about that. But to kind of expand on Woody there a little bit, what are some of the things that, like you said, you've been going across the country this past year? What are some of the things you guys have been doing?
So with Woody, I got started with running, really just doing the hunting side of things. I wasn't really training to do hunt tests. And then I went down to school at A&M and got hooked up with a guy named Chris Krause at Oak Creek Retrievers. He kind of took me underneath his wing and kind of showed me the formal side of training and kind of introduced me to the hunt test thing. And he set the bug in me, and I started running HRC stuff. And ended up getting a finished title. So, and then he introduced me to the AKC side of things and ended up getting a master title on Woody and qualifying for Master National 2019. Chris ended up having to take Woody to Master National because I wasn't able to go because of school. And he ended up passing him there. And then shortly after, the SRS came out with the university portion of their side of things, and Chris was like, you need to go try to run this. It's like, all right. So we started training. I had to find a coach, and Chris pointed me in the direction of Rhodey Best at Best Retrievers, and Rhodey's son and I, Dakota, ran the SRSU. We ended up placing third there, which qualified us for the crown. We went to the crown, got our butts handed to us. We did not belong there, and we found that out real fast. So that really put a fire under me, and we trained hard. Ended up 2020 rolls around, and the COVID thing really kicks in, and school starts getting canceled, and there's a midweek SRS at Leo Joseph's place. And immediately when I found out school was canceled, I took off, went down there. We ended up getting third down there, which qualified us for the crown in 2020. Ran a few more events, didn't quite do how we'd like, but we were still qualified, so went down there. Didn't have as high expectations. We were just taking it one day at a time, and ended up getting fifth at the crown. So that was quite the adventure. And before the crown, we ran the fall grand, and Woody and I passed the fall grand. So needless to say, 2020 was good to us.
Man, that's a bunch of exciting stuff happening in a short window of time, not to mention through COVID and being in school. I guess like COVID could have been kind of your saving grace with giving you a little more time. I'm sure you had to transition into some online learning or some virtual learning through there, right?
Oh man, it was a wild wild time. I'm not COVID like it's a blessing in disguise. I got to travel the country and see a lot of different things and do school at the same time. We were pre-grand or no, the last series at the grand. I had class, and my professor was not going to allow me to miss class, so I was in the middle of the field getting service, and I was zooming in for class, making sure I got the attendance.
Man, yeah. That's dedication right there.
Hey, I had to do it, so I made sure it got done.
I really hope that that one professor did not get looked too kindly on Rate My Professor after that semester.
It was pretty funny. He wasn't too happy with the situation, but there wasn't anything he could do about it.
Oh man. So listening to you kind of go through your history and growing with Woody, I kind of want to take a step back just a little bit, and if you could just tell us how old is Woody right now?
Woody turned 4 in January.
Okay, and then, before y'all started running the hunt tests, I know you said you kind of had some mentors, but was there any programs that you followed as well, or did you just train a lot with pros?
Man, I was just watching YouTube videos and reading books. I was just doing anything I could get my hands on to figure out just anything and everything, because I'd have been hunting with people that had dogs and they were just terrible. You know, you would rather go get the ducks yourself. I was like, I do not want to be that guy that's having to make his dog, you know, he won't sit still, he won't quit whining, you know. I didn't want that. I didn't want to be that guy. So
right,
you know, there's a saying I always joke with my buddy, and it's having a dog gets you invited hunting, right? But having a good dog gets you invited back.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Another question that I had was with Woody being a Chessie, what other Chessies have done what he's done, especially like in the SRS game? Are you aware of any other Chessies that are competing in the crown?
So Tom Lind, he's another Chessie guy. He is from up north. And he does well with his Chessies, but as far as finishing the crown, I'm not for sure this is an actual stat or if it's proven or not, but I've had several people tell me he was the only Chessie to ever have finished the crown.
Man, that's a pretty big accolade.
Yeah.
is he the only non-lab? I've been watching a bunch of YouTube crowns from back in the day, and I mean, it's pretty rare that you see anything but a lab. I know I saw one golden a long time ago. It was like early 2000s. That I think might have came in second, but I don't think it's a lot of variety.
No, it's usually pretty lab dominant.
Right.
I know the pro that I train for now, I believe he was the first one to run a Boykin. I think that Boykin's name was Chuck. some years back, but
it's a good name. Yeah.
It is. But yeah, it's definitely weighted towards labs. So I like seeing something different at the line.
Right. Even if it's mistaken for a chocolate.
That's right. Hey, I'll tell you, if that's the worst thing he's mistaken for, I'll take it.
Is that a common mistake people make?
Oh man, I've heard all kinds of stuff. It's not even funny.
I can only imagine.
Oh, it's pretty interesting to see. I don't know if y'all know, Jackson. He's a pro in Oklahoma, and he's a pretty good friend of mine. He's always making funny jokes and messing around, and his go to slogan when I'm up there running is, he'll be hollering, "Water, wolf, water." You can hear him in the gallery just hollering the whole time. He always keeps saying it's interesting. So it's fun to have him around and have the jokes going.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So with everything that happened in 2020, what plans do you have moving forward for 2021 and the future?
So 2021 is going to be a little different for me because I graduated school in December, so I don't have near as much free time. And Woody needs one more pass to qualify for Master National. He's actually with Chris right now trying to get that pass under his belt. And then hopefully I'll be able to pick him back up and start doing some SRS prep and getting ready for that. Hopefully all plans stick tight and we can get all those titles behind his name.
Right. Are you planning on running the Grand again?
I was hoping to, but with work, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to make it.
Mm.
Oh, man.
So, Keith, out of curiosity.
If I'm not going to be able to go, Woody's going to go. Either way.
Gotcha.
You can't deny him just because you're busy, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, out of curiosity, are you planning to come up and do any of those SRS events that are in North Carolina? I know we have like three back-to-back coming up here soon.
So I'm probably only going to stay closer to home down here in the South. I was traveling, like I said, a lot, but I don't have the luxury of doing that this go around.
Gotcha.
I'm sure you'll probably come through Louisiana and Mississippi. I think we have a couple of them down this way.
Yeah, that's probably within my range there.
Right.
Is there anyone else from your college? You said you're at A&M.
Yes.
Is there anyone else from A&M that ran in SRSU?
The only other person that has run with me is Dakota, which is Rhodey's son, and then Rhodey's younger son also ran last year, and he's going to A&M. It's going to Blinn, which is the school that everybody goes to before they go to A&M.
Gotcha.
So since you got to team up with Dakota and had Rhodey as a coach, did you get to go down there and spend some time with Best Retrievers?
Oh, yeah. I was training with them probably once or twice a week, and then we kind of continued the relationship, and I would train out there with either Rhodey or Luke, and I trained with them. I went and pre-trained for the crown with Luke, and so I spent a lot of time with their crew. And
so having
to learn a lot from them.
Having a heavy hunt test background, was that your time when you kind of got to see some bigger like field trial type setups?
Yes, Rhodey and Luke have a pretty strong hunt test program as well. And when we were SRS prepping, we would do the field trial stuff. So they helped me see it side and learn how to gauge the situation that I was going into.
Right. I'm assuming that Woody took to it pretty well, considering how well he fared in SRS. But I know it's quite a bit different, especially for a dog that's been running hunt tests for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he's done all right. You know, he doesn't have the mentality of wanting to go long. He wants to go long because I ask him to. If he'll go back and watch, he'll sometimes a long bird goes off out there 300-400 yards. He'll watch it go down, and then he'll look back up at me and kind of be like, "Man, are we seriously going to do this? Because I know you don't shoot ducks that far."
He's still a duck hunting dog.
Gotcha. Yo, that's his mindset. And I mean, if you'll see him, he runs slow when we're doing the hunt tests and stuff like that. But when you go duck hunting with him, when he sees a bird go down, he's like, "All right, let's go." And he is moving. He's back and forth. He has a human mind to him. I'm telling you, it's unexplainable. He I swear he's half human sometimes.
That's funny, man. So with all the success that he's had and being kind of a little bit different from a lab, have you had some potential suitors out there looking for some Woody,
There's been several people trying to get in touch with me, and I've been trying to get some things set up for him. So there's definitely some interested parties for him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would think. And he has a perfect name for it, you know?
That's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Keith, at the beginning of this, you kind of mentioned having some hog dogs back home and a dog named Tarzan, which that's a pretty cool name for a dog. Tell us what is the world of hog dogs? Because that is so far outside of my scope. I know nothing about it.
So hog hunting is the most primal thing that you can do. It's the best thing since sliced bread, if you ask me. Everybody has kind of a wrong view of it because just like everything, one sour apple can run the whole bunch. But I kind of take pride in my dogs, and man, to watch them, they have so much natural ability and hunt and want that it will blow your mind to see what a dog will do to go out and please the guy that's feeding them.
What does a hunt look like for a hog dog? Is it kind of like, you know, treeing a coon or something? Or what are they looking to do? Is it a corner a hog, just run a hog till it gets exhausted? What's that hunt look like?
Well, sometimes it's a little bit of both. So what they're looking to do is you go out on your side-by-side, you'll kick your dogs out, and they'll go out and hunt in the woods, find a track. And if they find the hogs and they're not moving, they'll do what they call bay, which is they circle them and then they start barking. Well, then sometimes the hog will run just like anything else that's trying to escape, and the dogs will follow them until they stop again, and then they'll start barking. So it's just a constant chase game. And then you go in with your catch dogs and go in there, and they grab the hogs by the ears, and then you go in there and flip them. And you can either tie them, which I used to do a lot when I was in high school. We used to tie them and sell them. But now it's not really a huge market for people buying them, so we just have just been killing them.
Gotcha.
So what breeds of dogs are you using? I'm assuming it's two different kinds. You have one that's kind of tracking them down, and then the other ones that are going in there and, you know, I guess kind of baying them.
Yeah, so my bay dogs are plot cur cross dogs, and then catch dogs are usually pit bulls.
Gotcha. Hmm. Okay.
Interesting. I figured something mixed with a cur because those things, I always think it's neat watching those dogs run. Around here, the closest you're going to get, I'm sure somebody towards the mountains where they have a little bit more of a hog issue, have some hog dogs, but around where I'm at, it's mostly, you know, walker hounds for deer and fox. But I've seen a lot of videos of cur running, and those are some tough dogs.
Yeah, they're pretty intense. I mean, it's all business. When it's time to go, they're all about it.
So you mentioned they bay when the hogs stop running. So does that mean they're not baying in pursuit like a beagle or a walker?
So everybody has their own opinion. And I personally like a silent dog on track. That I feel that when they're barking on track, it bumps the hogs. But some people believe that. But that's just kind of the style of dog that I run. So I look for a silent track.
Gotcha.
How often do you get to go hog hunting?
You can go year round. I don't go in the summertime when it's real hot. I usually hunt from about October till usually April, and yeah, I stop in April because of turkey season. I start turkey hunting.
Nice. So you can pretty much hunt year round. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we hunt at nighttime from about till October until about the middle of January. During deer season, we'll hunt at night during the week. That way that we don't bother the deer hunters. And then as soon as deer season's over, we'll start hunting in the daytime on the weekends and stuff.
Right.
Man, that sounds like a super intense hunt. Do you have any like crazy stories that have happened while you've been out there on a hog hunt?
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good one on top of my head. Oh. I do remember one time we were hunting, and we were hunting pretty close to this town. It's a little small town, and this guy had about 1,000 acres right there on the edge of town. And we kicked the dogs out, and we ended up catching this one hog in this lady's backyard.
Yeah. Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, so talking about stirring up some commotion in the town, it was something.
Oh, I bet, man.
That wasn't your town, though, right?
No, it was probably 15 minutes from my house. But everybody knows everybody, so it didn't help much.
Oh, man. Man, How do you get into hog hunting? Is that something that like your parents, grandparents did, or is it just from having just like an abundant surplus of hogs around?
My granddad always had bird dogs, and then my cousin got into the hog dog deal. So, and then he took me every chance I would get in the truck with him, I'd go with him, and he kind of got me started into it. So it was just kind of a family deal, and so that's how I got started into the hog hunting. And like you said, there's hogs everywhere, so it's hard not to want to try to do something about it.
Yeah.
Now for hog dogs, is there training involved with that, or is it just you got some dogs with good natural ability, and when you know the pups are old enough, you just let them run from with those other ones and learn with them?
Yeah. It's pretty much on the job training. They learn going with the other dogs. But when they're puppies, we do mess with them a lot and get them introduced to hogs and get them, you know, trailing stuff and, you know, just the little things. You're not really teaching them just, you know, obedience and stuff. You're teaching them more just trying to ignite that natural ability inside of them to kick in.
Right. Do you have any trouble keeping up with dogs when they're hog hunting, or do you use like GPS?
Yeah, so I use my I have a Garmin Alpha, and it's a track and train system, so you can track your dogs, or if your dog's doing something you don't need it to be doing, you have the ability to correct them.
Okay,
so that's what I use.
Yeah, it seems like you know you got these dogs running everywhere. You might be hunting for a hog, like at the end of it. It might be you that's actually hunting for a dog.
Yeah, they can't read signs or anything, so all they know is to go where the hogs take them, and then they do their part, and I do my part, and I try to stay in contact with everybody that we're hunting around. That way we have permission to go in and get the dogs. That way we're not put in an awkward situation to have to run into somebody we don't know and end up them not wanting us there. So.
This sounds a lot more exciting than the type of hunting I've been doing. I feel like I've been missing out.
Adrenaline rush. I'm telling you, going in there and grabbing the hog by the back legs, it'll never get old.
So when I think of a hog, I'm thinking of, you know, a true wild hog that's got some tusks on it. Is that
like Puma?
Yeah, kind of like Puma. The is that really what they are? Or?
I mean, they're pretty. You can get hold of them that are pretty rank. I mean, they'll have a couple inch long teeth on them, and I mean they're not there to be your best friend, that's for sure. but one thing I have found is they're trying to get away, and if you're smart about what you're doing and paying attention to what you're doing, you're not going to put yourself in a position to get in a bind. Now that doesn't mean I haven't been in those situations where I wasn't thinking too clearly, but they you just got to be smart with what you're doing, and you got to trust your dogs as well, because they're there to help you out too. So,
man, that's some roughneck type stuff. What's the worst injury you've gotten while hog hunting?
Man, I've never personally had an injury. I've had several buddies that have gotten hurt, but I have not had anything. No, not nothing while I was hunting with somebody. I've only just heard the stories.
Gotcha. You better knock on some wood real quick.
I know. I've been blessed.
That's pretty awesome, man. I'm gonna have to get into something like that. You know,
come on, anytime.
Yeah, that's what I was hinting at. I was hoping you'd throw. Hey, you wouldn't leave me hanging here.
Do you guys do any of the aerial hog hunts out that way?
And the helicopters and things.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There are people who are using the helicopters, and you know now they're even using. You know, they have the thermal stuff, but they have a thermal drone now that they've been using to fly around and scout for hogs, and then they'll go out with the thermal and put them in a position for the hunters to shoot the hogs. So yeah, there's lots. Those hogs are getting smart. When they hear something in the air, they go running.
Man, that sounds like an awesome rush. But if you had to pick between hog hunting with Tarzan or duck hunting with Woody, which one would you pick?
Oh man, that's like splitting hairs. I don't know. They're both fun. I don't know. I've never thought of it about that. I just want to be able to do both as long as I can. I don't want to ever have to pick.
Do you think that Tarzan would make a better duck dog or would he make a better hog dog if you had to go through and train one to do the opposite sport?
Oh, Woody, he'll already bay hogs. I use him to teach puppies. I use him to teach puppies.
What?
Yes, yes. I'm telling you, it's a thousand wonders Woody's not all kinds of messed up in his head, because before I started doing the hunt test stuff, I would use him to pin cows. He'll do whatever I ask him to. And I know.
That's pretty awesome.
It's like I said.
Man, I've I don't remember where I read it or heard it, but somebody told me one time that Chessies were like the pit bulls of like the duck dog world.
Oh, dude, he's a brute. He'll get mean now. He will. I've seen him catch hogs before. Nothing big. A 50-pound pig. He'll catch it. He's not scared. But
that's pretty awesome.
He doesn't play.
Yeah, well, let me know if any of those suitors come around and if something works out with old
Woody. All right, I will do.
you're like me, John. You want to collect all the less common retrievers.
Man, I've been saying, I'm pretty sure I've said it on an episode before. Like, if I could have a retriever that's not a golden, like, I would really like to have a Chessie, man. So. And we're talking to one of the best. So, running SRSs and chasing hogs.
I don't know about all that, but we just try. That's all we can do.
Hey, when a Chessie gets mistaken for a lab, you know, I think that in the lab dominated world, I think that's about as good of a compliment as anyone could get, right?
There you go.
All right, so you got a Chessie, you got some hog dogs. And this is a question I like to ask on our podcast. But if you had to have another breed of dog and it was neither of those, what breed of dog would you like to take on as a challenge?
Man, I've always liked the look of those Irish setters. I don't know why, but I've always liked that. So that would have to be it. I don't know if it's just because I love bird hunting, and my granddad always had bird dogs, and he always had English pointers, but those Irish setters have always caught my eye, so I'd have to say that'd probably be my.
Those are definitely some pretty dogs. Brad, who we had as our guest way back when with his pound dog, he has a Irish setter, doesn't he, John?
Yeah, that's what she is, Irish setter. She's supposed to be from really nice lines too. I don't think he does a whole lot of bird hunting with her, but she's a cool dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty dogs. So, did you ever, like, read into the history of the Chesapeake Bay Retriever? Like, where the breed came from? I love looking into the history, and I've heard almost rumors about the origin of the breed.
Man, honestly, I have not done my research on them at all. I just got him on a friend deal. I got him for free, so that was just kind of how that worked out.
What a nice
They say the best ones are always free, and I can't go wrong with that statement.
Man, does he want to charge you now?
He's always joked about it.
Well,
it's good stuff.
Oh, for sure. Well, Keith, you know, I definitely appreciate your time, you know, being on this episode, hearing about hog dogs. That's a new one for me. And, you know, that's something, you know, me and John are going to show up at your doorstep one day and say, take us hog home.
Hey, you can't tempt me with a good time, because I will go.
All right. Well, John, you got any other questions?
No, man. I think that's it, man. That was I especially like listening to the hog dog stuff. I think, you know, we could have had just a dedicated hog dog episode after hearing about all that. But I'm glad we got to hear a lot about the rise of the Woody as well.
Oh, man. You know, I don't know if we can use that as a episode title.
The Rise of... Yeah.
All right.
Woody suitors. There you go.
The biggest Woody. No.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Keith, thank you again for being on this episode.
Before we close out, let's give a shout out to Keith's pages. Keith, what do you want to mention as far as Instagram pages and whatnot? What you got out there?
Yeah, you can follow on my dog page is Whitmer's Kennels. I just post all my my dog stuff on there. I keep from pulling up my personal page with just dog stuff.
That's Whitmer's Kennel. That's WITMER Kennels. One word.
Yeah, Whitmer's Kennels with the S.
With the S. And you have a giveaway going on right now, right?
Yeah, we're getting a little hat away, and I just got my first round of hats in, so figured I'd let somebody sneak in on get in one on one of those.
Represent.
That's right.
It might be a little too close to it for us to try to enter now, huh, John?
I already entered, so I mean, you know, I'm eligible for the hat right now.
Well, Keith, thank you again. We appreciate you taking the time to be on here and teaching us something about hog dogs and telling us a little bit something about your Woody.
All right, thank y'all.